Hello and welcome to a new edition of RAI Argentina to the World. This is the foreign service of Argentina's public national radio, broadcasting from the city of Buenos Aires via the shortwaves of WRMI, Miami Radio International, on the frequency of 5800 kilohertz. You can also listen to our show on our website, rai.com.ar. And while you're on the web, check out also our YouTube channel, RAI Argentina to the World, where you will be able to find original content produced by RAI in 8 languages. That's RAI Argentina to the World on YouTube. I am Fernando Farias, and I'm bringing you the weekly edition of our program in English. Today, we'll be talking about the pandemic, about the COVID-19 pandemic, with an expert on the occasion of Argentina reaching or passing 1 million confirmed cases this week. If you want to get in contact with us, send us an email to qslrai@gmail.com. That's the address you have to use if you want to send a message, and also if you want to send us a reception report. That's to say, if you're a DXer, a shortwave listener, a shortwave fan, send us your reception report to that email address and you'll get a QSL card from us. We are replying these weeks with our special centennial QSL card marking 100 years of Argentine radio broadcasting. QSLRAI@gmail.com. Okay, folks, and you know, in the headlines all over the world this week was a round figure related to the pandemic here in Argentina. Argentina reached 1 million confirmed coronavirus cases. But beyond this round figure, which grabs headlines, there is a lot to see. And to do a recap of the pandemic so far in Argentina, 7 months into the pandemic, we have the pleasure of having once again on our show Dr. Victor Romanovsky, who's the vice president of the Argentine Society of Virology. He's also of the Institute of Biotechnology and Molecular Biology, an institution of the University of La Plata that is a member of the Global Virus Network. Hello, Victor. Good morning. Thank you once again for this.
Good morning, Fernando.
Well, what is your view beyond the round figure, 1 million confirmed cases and over 27,000 deaths, where are we in the pandemic in your view?
Well, let me tell you, 42 million COVID cases around the world, 1 million deaths around the world, more than 1 million deaths. And in Argentina, we have 1 million confirmed cases since the start of the pandemic. Course of the epidemic is quite distinct and different in different districts in Argentina. Firstly, it was concentrated in the city of Buenos Aires with a very high population density. Then it spread to the surrounding areas of the province of Buenos Aires, the so-called metropolitan area. And it was mostly restricted to these areas at the beginning. 90% of the cases were found in these areas, in the metropolitan area.
Yes.
And now, the metropolitan area is steady or maybe even decreasing in number mm-hmm. of cases, of daily cases.
Yeah, yeah.
So at the same time as in the provinces,
yes.
In the further from the capital, numbers are rising. So it's a spread of the epidemic within the country.
Mm-hmm. Outside Buenos Aires, which, as you pointed out, the trend has been slightly decreasing in Buenos Aires City, if I'm not wrong, with between 600 and 800 cases per day. We have these numbers in the capital for weeks, but the rest of the country is worrying and is explaining what percentage of total daily cases now, 60, 70%?
Around that, yes.
Mm-hmm. And what is your analysis and how the interior of the country was able to remain with so few cases, some provinces with no cases at all for months, and now all of a sudden the scenario has been reversed?
It's probably due to the relaxation of the isolation measures, like travel between districts and provinces, testing at the entry points or as such. And also, you have seen it in the provinces in the Argentine Republic, there were less strict measures put in place. Many people were gathering in social events, and restaurants were open, and that's a place where the contacts are the main reason for infection, for transmission, for virus transmission.
Yes. So social gatherings, indoors, what experts have been trying to convince people not to do. You're saying that this may explain the spike in the rest of the country. I mean, they got used to not having the virus circulating among them, and then it was very difficult to implement restriction measures as they were implemented early here in Buenos Aires.
It's just my personal speculation about what is happening, because you probably remember bursts of cases in isolated places in the province of Buenos Aires and Entre Rios and Santa Fe, exactly related to social gatherings.
Mm-hmm.
They were closely traced, all the cases were traced to one single gathering in the province of Buenos Aires, for instance.
Mm-hmm. Yes. I remember that at the beginning in Necochea, there was a famous case of a baby shower.
And also in other provinces, like
Rio Negro and Neuquén. Mm-hmm. And regarding the virus per se, in Buenos Aires we are seeing this stability or even a decrease in the number of cases. Is that a result of people having been immunized, or is it the result of the social distancing measures? I mean, has the virus begun to run its course in this area of the country? Do we know that? Or maybe if we open everything, we've seen a deterioration of the situation again in Buenos Aires.
Well, actually, we have some basis to believe what is causing this and what is not. For sure, herd immunity is not taking place, because we have tested the population, and there's not much more than 10% of the population that has been immunized through natural infection. So there's no such thing as herd immunity protecting the population here, mm-hmm. and in no other country around the world.
Mm-hmm.
So this is for sure.
Yeah.
So I will have to say that I'm convinced that the social distancing, the isolation, and quarantine measures and contact tracing are the major things that mm-hmm. have put this epidemic under control.
Mm-hmm.
And there is one single thing I would like you to know. If you compare COVID cases in 2020 to 2019, you cannot do that, because in 2019 there was no COVID.
Mm-hmm.
But there have been other respiratory infectious diseases throughout the last years, and we have numbers for those cases.
Okay.
Numbers for instance, respiratory syncytial virus.
Mm-hmm.
It causes bronchiolitis.
Yeah.
And it also is the cause of hospitalization of children.
Mm-hmm. And how many people?
If you compare the number of cases in 2020 to the number of cases in the previous years, you will see that less than 20% of the cases have been detected this year.
Okay.
So this means that the control measures that have been put in place to control COVID or the coronavirus transmission are the same measures that are being effective for other respiratory virus infections. And we have a control figure for this.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And I mean, if we compare people dying from COVID-19 in 2020 here in Argentina, which is over 27,000 so far, to say one of these respiratory diseases you were talking about in another year, in a bad year, what? How do these figures compare? Because, well, many politicians who are against long quarantines and keeping social distancing restrictions in place say that, well, people die of other diseases all the time, but we do not put these controls in place. Do we have these figures to compare, to present against these arguments?
Actually, I'm not a public health specialist, I don't have my figures in my head. I cannot answer that for sure. I can just guess. The numbers are high. For flu, for respiratory syncytial virus, but I'm sure that what we have learned by being pressed with this coronavirus that is very lethal have to remain as a custom in our society. I don't say that we have to keep isolated the following years, but frequent hand washing, the responsibility of not touching your face every 20 seconds or so, these are very good measures to reduce the respiratory infections and many others.
Now, for several weeks, we've seen a positivity rate in the number of tests that are performed daily in Argentina, which are between 25,000 and 35,000, if I'm not wrong. Well, we've been seeing a very high positivity rate, 50 to 60, sometimes 70%. And some say that you have to times that five or six times to know the real number of cases. It's not just Argentina, it's all over the world. So we can say that 10 times or five times that million is the real number of coronavirus cases in Argentina. Would you think that's a correct guess?
Well, you know that since a month or so, the Argentine Ministry of Health has issued an advice to use a number of symptoms of COVID as confirmation of COVID.
Okay.
And they are not wrong. They are not wrong. They are better off if they use this criterion instead of using PCR positivity. You know that you detect viral genetic material in nasopharyngeal swabs using a very sensitive test, which is called RT-PCR.
The most effective.
Many people reckon that RT-PCR gives you a positive result in about 60% of the cases on average.
Mm-hmm.
So we are losing 40%. And that 40% is not being lost if you use the clinical criterion.
Okay. Yeah.
You may miss something, but you miss fewer cases.
Okay.
Of course, this does not apply to the asymptomatic infections.
Yeah. Yeah, which is the
asymptomatic infections are also missed much more frequently when you use the RT-PCR test.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because
gotcha.
The number of viral particles in the nose, epithelium, and the pharyngeal epithelium is smaller, so it's not being picked up.
Mm-hmm.
It's very difficult to have a very good sample from this type of biological material.
Mm-hmm.
Also, there have been criticisms from some specialists for using serological tests,
mm-hmm. Yeah,
and not distinguishing that from the molecular
test. Yeah, yeah, so not the same, no.
Right. This is not completely true. They are a little wrong, because at the time when a person which is suspecting of having COVID is being tested, at the time this person is being tested, it can give you a false negative if you use only molecular testing.
Mm-hmm.
At this time, because it's usually late after the infectious contact, immunoglobulins, antibodies, begin to rise. So if you combine the results of an antibody test with the results of PCR tests, you get a better number. So as you see from what I'm discussing here, the numbers that we are using have a certain degree of uncertainty.
Mm-hmm.
And this is true around the globe.
Mm-hmm.
So, it's not only Argentina.
I know. No, it's. I mean, the round figures is what catches the attention of the media. But I know. I'm sure that always there is something beyond these round figures. But the idea was to have like a recap of the pandemic at this point in Argentina with these figures with you, Victor. We're talking to Victor Romanovsky, the vice president of the Argentine Society of Virology on RAI Argentina to the world. And well, my final question is regarding, well, the number of deaths compared to the population of Argentina. That's definitely high. And is that a result of more people getting infected, or do you think there was something that could have been handled a little better? That died of COVID-19.
Died from COVID.
Yeah, and compared to the population, is in proportion is pretty high. Argentina has got a population of 45 million, and if those numbers keep going up with between 300 and 400 deaths per day, well, it's going to look grimmer.
You're partially right, because if you compare it with the number of deaths in the U.S., has a grimmer future than us.
Mm-hmm.
If you compare this with other countries in this Latin American region, we are a little better off if you exclude Uruguay, but Uruguay is a special case.
Yes.
The population density is so small.
3 million people, yeah.
It's like comparing us with New Zealand.
Yes.
What else? The number of deaths per million has been rising, of course, because it's an accumulation. But if you reckon the number of deaths per day, or better, if you do the calculation using the average on 7 days or week, the number of deaths per week per million of inhabitants is steady at this time, which is nothing to be proud of, but at least we are not going up in number of deaths.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
For COVID.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And from the people you know around the country in your field or working in hospitals, one of the reasons these restrictions were put in place so early was to prevent a collapse of the health system. Are you receiving accounts from outside Buenos Aires, which is where most of the infrastructure is located, from places where this situation is happening, where they have to turn away COVID-19 patients in hospitals? Is that happening outside Buenos Aires now that the interior is like the hotspot for the pandemic?
I have no news about that.
Mm-hmm.
With the exception of the province of Jujuy, where
mm-hmm.
They relaxed the measures very early.
Mm-hmm.
The number of cases rose above the infrastructures that they have. But overall in the country,
mm-hmm.
we are at this moment using a fewer percentage of intensive care units.
Great. Well, thank you very much, Victor. Always a pleasure and enlightening to talk to you. That was Dr. Victor Romanovsky, the Vice President of the Argentine Society of Virology, also of the Institute of Biotechnology and Molecular Biology of the UNLP, the University of La Plata, which is a member of the Global Virus Network, ONRAE, Argentina to the World. You're listening to the English language program of RAE that airs via WRMI on the shortwaves on the frequency of 5800 kHz. You can also listen to all of our shows in 8 languages on our website, rae.com.ar, where you can find also some very interesting podcasts produced by the International Broadcaster of Argentina. And don't forget to check out our YouTube channel, RAE Argentina to the World. If you want to get in touch with us, send us an email to qslrae@gmail.com. This program continues to be a weekly show. Since the pandemic started, everybody here at RAE started working from home. We have not been going to the station the historic building of Maipú 555 in central Buenos Aires since March, because public media authorities decided to keep staff going to that building to a minimum to prevent a spread of coronavirus. And RAE is one of the several stations operating in that building that became, for the time being, a remote station with everybody working from home. And the flagship of this stage for us, for our station, is the multi-language program Made in Casa that I recommend you to check out on our YouTube channel, RAE Argentina to the World, or our website, RAE Argentina. It's a weekly 8-language show that brings us all together working from home. Okay, let us listen to a little bit of music, and I'm trying to play a song that cheers us up a little bit, because the news, not only in Argentina but all over the world, as you may know, have not been very good. We've been practically this whole year suffering this pandemic all over the world, and it's not looking any better for the time being. No vaccine has been announced. We have to hang in there, to hold on, to resist until we get out of this, situation, and in order to try to bring us up a little bit, to cheer us up, I'm going to play a song that is all about hope. It's a song by Diego Torres, sung by Diego Torres. It was written by Coti Sorokin and other songwriters. And the song was a hit, was a massive hit in Argentina in the year 2002 when it was released, because it was, or among other reasons, because it was released amid a similar context when despair was rampant in Argentina, that had just had that terrible economic, social, political meltdown of December 2001. There wasn't much hope in the air in the year 2002, with the notable exception, among other exceptions, of course, but there was a notable exception to that despair, and it was the song Color Esperanza, The Color of Hope, by Diego Torres, and that's something we need not to forget at this moment, that hope has never, never been lost. There we go.
Sé que hay en tus ojos con solo mirar que estás cansado de andar y de andar y camina girando siempre en un lugar. Sé que las ventanas se pueden abrir, cambiar el aire depende de ti, te ayudará, vale la pena una vez más. Saber que se puede, querer que se pueda, quitarse los miedos, sacarlos afuera, pintarse la cara color esperanza, tentar al futuro con el corazón. Es mejor perderse que nunca embarcar, mejor tentarse a dejar de intentar, aunque ya ves no es tan fácil empezar. Sé que lo imposible se puede lograr, que la tristeza algún día se irá, y así será, la vida cambia y cambiará. Sentirás que el alma vuela por cantar.
Okay, folks, and with this cheerful music, we come to the end of today's program of Raya Argentina to the World. Never lose hope. We're gonna come out of this sooner or later. We'll be looking back, and this will have been gone. And that's why I picked this song at this particular moment by Diego Torres, written by Coti Sorokin. Color Esperanza, The Color of Hope, was a massive hit in 2001, in 2002 when it was released. I'm Fernando Farias. You listen to RAE Argentina to the World in English, broadcasting on WRMI Miami Radio International, frequency 5800 kHz, and also on internet rae.com.ar. Thank you for listening. Stay safe and hasta la próxima.